Book of Matthew this morning, chapter number 25. While we turn there, I want to say it's very good to be able to see, as Jeff mentioned, Julia here this morning. And that's exciting. Amen. And I always love to see her when somebody's singing up here. Some of you folks sit there, I don't know how you do it. And she's always got this glow on her face, and just sometimes kind of halfway mouthing the words with them, but it's neat. By the way, good to see Patty here this morning, too. I got every gland going through my mind, but the one you have a problem with. Pancreas. I had thyroid, I had, now I forgot what else I had. No brain, that was for sure. By the way, just to let you know, there's problems associated with that that just never go away. Something you got to live with, but it's very, very painful. And so remember in prayer in regards to this, and God might work and bless. Amen. All righty. Chapter number 25, look at Matthew, chapter 25. I'm going to be taking material from two different texts this morning. They don't necessarily go together, but there are some things I'd like for us to see that kind of comes out of both of them. And I'll share with that with you as after we read this. Beginning verse number 14, notice what it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." He had 100% increase. Verse 21, "And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." Again, 100% gain. "His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine." He had a 0% gain. "His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him which hath 10 talents, and unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you, first of all, that we can be able to read of the Word of God. We pray that you might give us some understanding this morning. I pray, O God, that you might develop in our heart some principles that are very, very much workable, that which you would desire in our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Of all the kingdoms that are mentioned in the Word of God, we find in the New Testament that he's speaking exclusively or almost exclusively of 2 different kingdoms. One of those we would call the kingdom of heaven. The other we would call the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is somewhat misleading to God's people because it's not about heaven where God abodes. It's talking about the atmosphere, if you please, in which we live. It's the population of the world. Remember in the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. He was talking about the earth and then that which is round about the earth and where you and I live at. Matter of fact, we find from the Word of God that this particular kingdom has what we might describe as a king, but God calls him a prince. In verse number 2 of Ephesians 2, it says, "Where in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And so we find here really a description he's given us of the devil, the prince of the power of the air. Who's the king of this world? I mean, who's really in charge right now? It's none other than the devil, Satan himself. And we find as we go back to the Old Testament that God put man in the Garden of Eden. God told man that he should have dominion over all that was here upon the face of the earth. We find that Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and that sin against God, that dominion left them. And no longer did they have that rule as they once had. And we find that basically they abdicated the throne to the devil. You might remember when Jesus came to this world, the devil took him and gave him 3 temptations. You look at those temptations, you say, how in the world could he give him because it was already his? Well, it was the devil's. And he has that kind of a kingdom. But we find there's another kingdom, thank God for that, it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that is entered by the new birth. If you go to Romans 14, 17, it says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we can look at that and we say, hey, that is a spiritual kingdom. It is not referring to, though we can enjoy here on earth, but it's not referring to the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, we find that the way into this kingdom, it's interesting. Jesus said it in chapter 3 and verse number 5 of the book of John. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No doubt you've heard the terms, you must be born again. And to be born again simply means that you must be born of the Spirit and be brought then into the family of God. As many received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them believe on his name. So you and I, if we're saved this morning, we have accepted Jesus Christ. We've allowed him to basically be our Savior. I shouldn't say basically, as our Savior. And we find then that we're brought into the family of God. Now, when I was born in 1946, that seems like eons ago, when I was born in the family of Springers. And thus I got that name. And it has stuck with me ever since. But in 1966, there's something else that took place, and that is I was reborn. And so I was born in the family of God. And now I'm a part of that family as well. I have an earthly family, but also have a heavenly family. And so you got the kingdom of heaven. It's basically where we live at. We have the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. And one we're born into, the other we must be reborn into. You say, now what's so important about that? When we come to the parables in the Word of God, we find that it's really of utmost importance that we understand what kingdom he is speaking of. If you notice at the beginning of this particular reading today in verse number 14, excuse me, I can't even see my Bible at the moment. In verse number 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country." So he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. As you look at the book of Matthew, you will find that most of the parables have to do with the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he's talking about what's going on right here in this world and how we can live, how we can see things go forward. But we also find there's the kingdom of God. Now, what's interesting, if you go back with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, it's in the midst of the Great Sermon on the Mount, And though most of it has to deal with the kingdom of heaven, we do find something very interesting as we get towards the end of this chapter. I'm going to read from verse number 24 down. And notice what it says, "No man can serve two masters." I'm in Matthew 6. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Did you notice that verse? You cannot. It's an impossibility for you to serve God and mammon. It's impossible for you to serve God and riches, if you please. You cannot serve God and yourself. "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" He's trying to teach us something very valuable, and I think we'll see as we get on down here. And verse number 27, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith else should we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Now notice verse 33, "But seek ye first the what?" The kingdom of God. Doesn't say heaven. "And his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." God is tying these two kingdoms together right here, and he said, if you seek God's kingdom, God will take care of you in this place. If you put God first, then God will take care of the things that you have down here on earth. And thus he says in verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient a day is the evil thereof." Interesting, I find, as we look to the Word of God in these things. Throughout most of this text, it's evident that he is speaking of natural things here on earth. And yet we find that he speaks of, in verse number 33, the kingdom of God. He is referring to the here and now of the kingdom of heaven. And yet he's saying, hey, if you seek first the kingdom of God, these things will all be taken care of. We find some great principles that lie within this and that we need to understand. We need to understand that everything that we have is really his. Is that not true? We talk about that in the young adult class, but everything that we have is really his. God made it, amen? God sustains it. We find that he's the one that hangs on to everything, holds it together. And so we find that it is all his. And we are stewards of it. In other words, whatever it is that you have, you are a steward of. Now it's interesting how God divides all this stuff up. He gives to each of us according to our ability. But you know what's interesting about that is God gives you the ability. God gives you the talent. God gives you the ability to do. And whatever it is that God gives you the ability to do, God then expects you to use that ability in accordance. And if your ability is to handle a great amount of stuff, then God will give you a great amount of stuff to handle. If your ability is to handle a little amount of stuff, then God's going to give you a little amount of stuff. Does that make sense? I think it makes perfect sense. And so he gives us according to ability. He's endowed us. Then we find from both these parables, especially the one we read first, that we are given an opportunity to increase what God has given to us. God does not give us whatever we have that we might set upon it and allow it to rot within the ground like the last guy did. He might have only had one, but he never used it as an opportunity to increase. God said you could have at least given it to the exchangers. You could have at least put it in the bank and let them give you some interest on it. But no, he hid it in the earth. We find not only we're given opportunity to increase, but we also find we have an accounting of our increase. God will hold us accountable for everything that he has put in our path. It's just a part of life. You can't get away from it. We're going to reach the judgment of God one way or another. And then as we come to chapter number 6, and especially verse 24, we find there's another great principle, and that is we cannot serve two masters. There is no way whatsoever. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. Serving the right master gives us his promise of increase. Isn't that interesting? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking the spiritual kingdom guarantees the conditions of this earthly kingdom. Do we understand that? What's happened in America? Christians think, oh, I got to seek after this, and the other thing, and I'll tip God when I'm all done with it. And really, we're trying to serve ourselves and not serving the Master. When we recognize everything is God's, and whatever comes our direction is His, then we allow God to help us to use it in the right way, and God causes increase to take place. And God takes care of us in this world. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. It just works. And actually, I thank God for it. Our text in Matthew 6 has three absolutes that I believe are worthy of our attention. And I'd like for us to observe them. And I'm going to observe them in form of warnings. Verse number 24, if you go there with me once again, verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6. Notice what he says, no man, does that include all of us? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, else he will hold to the one, despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. In every societal organization, from a social club to work groups to nations, there is ultimately one person that is the chief executive officer, CEO, if you please. He is the one. By the way, that word executive means to execute or to get the job done. He makes sure that it all gets done. Now, to him is also committed not only the praise, but also the blame. Harry Truman said, the buck stops here. And so we find that there is within society, wherever we're at, whether we're in a family, whether we're in church, whether we're in a nation, it doesn't matter. Whether we're at work, there is that organization, and there's somebody that makes sure that it all gets done. Now, I say that to say this. There is either the power of the air or the King of Kings in your life. You cannot have it both ways. In no way can we please both of them. It just does not take place. I think of the family. According to God's word, the father is to be the CEO of the family. He's the chief executive officer. By the way, dads, I get so tired of hearing this. I hear from moms, I hear from dads, they always have to be the bad guy. Will you get out of it? For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. If you're chastening your child, you're not the bad guy. You're the one who loves him enough to correct him and to send him on the right way. I'll get over that in a second. Mom and dad, you're equal. But somebody's got to be the CEO. Or there'll be confusion and rebellion within the family. Husband and wife cannot share that position simultaneously. Well, why are you saying that, preacher? Because that's a very great picture of God or the devil. You can't serve one and the other. It's one or the other. You cannot serve in the kingdom of heaven and serve in the kingdom of God. It's just not there. We either serve God or we serve the devil. It's one or the other. If we're to please God, then this position, by the way, within the family must be for He's the one that established it. But don't attempt to serve two masters. It does not work. If something has two heads, what is it? It's a freak. It's a monster. Yeah. And it's not that which is going to be of any value. Number two, first one is don't attempt to serve two masters. Secondly, if you go with me to verse number 33. These are very, very familiar verses, and yet what great, wonderful principles we need to gather from them. He says what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I'm going to say it one more time. Don't put the material word world first. Don't put the things of this world before God. By the way, I believe here's why God teaches tithes and offerings. That we might have an opportunity to recognize, hey, this is God's. By the way, in the book of Leviticus, it says the tithe is the Lord's. It's interesting. Somebody said, well, that's Old Testament. Yeah, tell me what has been reduced out of the Old Testament. Do you know thou shalt not kill is still New Testament? Thou shalt not steal is still New Testament. The ceremonial law was abolished because Jesus was the ceremony basically that took place. And so we find here that we must put the spiritual world ahead. Don't put the material world first. If we put God first in our finances, he blesses us as is best for us. Not what's best for what we think, but best for us. It's amazing how God takes care of all that. I told young folks in the class before that not always did I get beefsteak when I was younger, and a lot of times I had to eat beans. Now I'd rather have beans than beefsteak. Nobody else wishes I would, but it's the way it is. But God will provide. It's just simply amazing. I got a text this week from somebody that's sitting right here this morning and talking about that very same thing, how God, I don't even know what the deal was, but how God was taking care of them. Just thankful for it. Put God first. It's amazing what takes place in our lives. Don't put the material world, I can't even say the word right, don't put that first. And then lastly, go to verse number 34 with me. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The warning phrase that I would use here as I look at verse number 34 is very simply this. Don't worry. Don't worry. If you're serving the right master, you're putting his world ahead of your world, then quit worrying about the world you're living in. Quit worrying about all the stuff and all sorts of things. God takes care of that. Bible, not the Bible, we have, well, it does say it, but there's a song, burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. And we think of the burden of sin, but too often as God's people, we don't think of the burdens of this life. There are burdens in living, is there not? But Jesus said, my burden is light. And you and I have the ability to handle it. See, preacher, you don't know what's coming to my life. No, I don't know what's coming to your life, but I do know this. God's not going to give you that which you cannot handle. I don't know what it is. But God takes us through those things. It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to see. Brethren, that's where we find we're living by faith, not by sight. Too often we put the material world first, then we have reason to worry. And if you're worried, may I say to you, you don't have your priorities right. It's not what we'd like to hear, but I think it's true. What did he say there? Take no thought for tomorrow. One of my favorite chapters in the Word of God is Psalm chapter 37. One of the verses starts out, "Fret not thyself." Worry. Several teenagers here this morning. Teens, you need to learn a very valuable lesson. Many teenagers spend a lot of their life worrying. You say, well, they got to worry about us. They spend a lot of it worrying. Learn just whatever God brings your way. Amen. You see, the Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You think there's a reason he put those two kingdoms there and said we need to pray that direction? Our problem is that we live in this kingdom of heaven, but we don't allow our minds and our hearts to dwell in the kingdom of God. And life becomes a mess. Isn't it amazing how some people have the same thing happen to them that you have happened to you, and they seem to get through it just fine, but you don't? Or maybe the other way around. Perhaps there's the problem. Perhaps it's because they're not worried about it. Their trust is in God. Don't attempt to serve two masters. Don't put the material world first in your life. Don't worry. It eats up your insides. It destroys you. Get rid of it. How do you do that? Knowing that God will take you through. Well, he might not do it the way I want him to. Well, praise God. Aren't you glad he doesn't listen to you? You give him bad advice. Allow him that. If you're here today and you don't know Christ your Savior, you need to be reborn in the kingdom of God. You were born in this kingdom of heaven, and the ruler of this kingdom is Satan. As long as you do not accept Christ, your choice then is the devil. Well, that's no big deal. You'll spend eternity with him. You see, God lets you have your choice. I don't know about you, but I'd rather spend my eternity with God. Because I've read the Bible and I find out what the eternity for the devil is. I know the place. It's called hell. I know the torment. It's called flames and darkness. It is so bad they gnash their teeth. But we have the privilege to what? Choose the Lord. Amen. Which kingdom you want to really be in? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege this morning to open your word. And Lord, I pray and I trust and I hope that we've not been confusing, but Lord, that helpful, and that we might be able to inspect our lives. Oh God, we're all so often in the wrong mode of things. And I pray that you would bless and work in your people's lives. But Lord, I pray this morning for any who might not know your Savior. It'd be a day of salvation. Bless and work in hearts. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.